Real Career Talk. I am your host, Phil Burkett. This is a monthly podcast brought to you by The Network, where we bring you internal and external experts who give you great career, critical career advice. This episode, I'm excited. Why? Because we're going to talk about intelligence. Why intelligence isn't enough in today's workplace. And it aligns perfectly with our pillars for 2022, which are all about executive presence, yes, career management, and strategic thinking. And as we all know, all of these particular themes require constant and continuous development on our part. Today, I am excited because we also have with us an author, Carice Anderson. She wrote the book that actually touches on our theme, Why Intelligence is Not Enough, A Black Professional's Guide. Look at her sharing it with us. A Black Professional's Guide to Thriving in the Workplace. She released her book, Intelligence Isn't Enough, in South Africa under Jonathan Ball's Publishers imprint in 2021, January. And while her book is available at all good bookstores there and in the UK, her book will be re-released in the Barrett Kohler Publishers imprint and distributed globally by Penguin Random House in October of this year. She holds an MBA from Harvard Business School, a Bachelor of Science in Marketing from the University of Alabama. Go Red, whatever their theme is.
Roll Tide.
That's it. She's worked with many companies: Google, Publicis Media, Bain and Company. At McKinsey and Company, she managed a leadership program for early career professionals. Hey, that's right under our umbrella, right? Her work is currently focused on leadership development, people management, strategy, diversity, equity, and inclusion. She's relocated back to the USA. After living in South Africa, this is awesome, for 10 years with her husband, and we're thrilled to have her today, not just here, but back in the US. And we're excited to hear what she has to share with us. Welcome, Carice.
Thank you so much, Phil. Thank you so much. To you and Andrea for having me. I really do appreciate the opportunity to speak to your community.
Right. We're excited to have you here with the Real Career Talk family. So, a lot I just shared. Now, and I like to say on Google, on LinkedIn, we can find a lot of that information. But please share with our audience something that we can't find on Google, on social media, about you personally. What do you like? You like coffee? What do you like to do? Anything you want to share?
I am obsessed with three things in life. Chocolate is number one. Number two are Southern African mangoes. I'm very specific about where the mangoes need to come from. And then massages. I live for those three things. So anybody out there ever wants to get in my good graces, give me some chocolate, some mangoes, or a Swedish massage.
I hear you. Oh, she said a Swedish massage. I'll take note.
Not deep tissue. I feel like it's a little too harsh. I want a Swedish massage. So
you got
very particular about
neck.
Those two.
Yeah, I'm stretching my neck. You got me thinking about a massage now. Now I got to ask you, Carice, the chocolate now, it's a long day, long week, and you want to settle down and you've decided on chocolate. What would it be?
Pretty much anything dark chocolate. I love fondant or molten lava cake. That's probably my favorite. My favorite homemade chocolate is my mother's chocolate cake. She makes her own layers and her own icing, and it's the bomb. I've never tasted anybody's homemade chocolate cake that's as good as her. So shout out to mom.
I get it. I'm a turtle guy. So, I can go with the turtle. I think I need to raise my game. You just showed me.
Just slightly.
Okay, well, let's get under my cup of tea, shall we?
Awesome. Let's do it.
All right. So we've been talking about intelligence, and I'm excited for you to share all about intelligence to our audience. Now, three defining moments for your career that has happened that inspired you to write the book, Intelligence Isn't Enough. Tell us all about it.
So let me start off, Phil, by just quickly sharing what is the framework for my book for those of you that haven't had a chance to read it. So the way my book is structured is I say that you need to know yourself, you need to know other people, you need to know your environment, integrate the knowledge of those three to build a personal brand and a communication style that allows you to have maximum impact. Okay, so keep those things in mind. Know yourself, know others, know your environment, personal brand, communication style. So when I think about this question in terms of the defining moments, you know, moment number one is my first job out of undergrad. I would say moment number two is moving to South Africa. And then moment number three was working at McKinsey. So for the first moment, you know, my first job out of undergrad, I was the first person in my family to major in business, to even work in the corporate space. And so that's the first place where I experienced a lot of pain and kind of frustration of not really understanding what my role is and owning my career. And then ultimately, I was the CEO of U Incorporated. Now, I was the employee of another company, but I'm the CEO of U Incorporated, right? I am the head of this organization right here. I didn't really understand that when I first started working. And I think that caused a lot of frustration and, you know, depression, maybe borderline, because I didn't know what my role was. So the moment number two, I would say, was moving to South Africa. I mean, moving to a whole different continent where there's different languages and a totally different culture, totally different business culture, that really made me sort of exercise my cultural IQ muscle, which is what I talk about in that chapter where I talk about knowing your organization. And I would say moment number three was working at McKinsey. That's where I really noticed the gap between what Black professionals think they need to be doing to be successful versus what is expected of them. And that's honestly where the spark for my book was really lit. When I saw that there was this gap, even though there's so many resources out here, people, young people now have social media and online courses, all these things that I did not have when I graduated from undergrad. I'm dating myself right now, but you know, when I graduated from undergrad, the internet was about 5 pages long. You go through it in about 7 minutes, right? So I didn't have all those resources, but I thought, well, these young people have all these resources. They're going to be so much savvier, but they weren't. And that's really why I wrote my book, because I was like, let me try to tell them everything I wish somebody had told me right out of undergrad. So I would say those are my three defining career moments.
So I want to ask you, you know, you said you got frustrated, you know, you were working in corporate, you were running your own. And that was, so there was a disconnect. There's two things I want you to peel back the onion on. Where was the cause of the frustration, if you don't mind, for the audience? And then you also said something that was interesting. You said, know your environment. Could you share more about that?
So I think on your first point, I was frustrated because I think the formula that I had used to be successful up until that point was not working in that new environment. You know, I historically put my head down, I worked hard, I put in the energy and the time, and I don't think I was necessarily yielding the success that correlated to the time and the energy that I was putting in. But if you think about it, a lot of us get a lot of advice about being successful, but most of it is, and I would say 99.9% of it is about ourselves. It's like, work hard, put the time in, and then somebody will come and, you know, tap you on the shoulder and knight you as the chosen one. And in that advice, other people don't feature in it. We don't talk at all about other people. You know, so even my manager, my first job out of undergrad, I treated her like she was a professor. I was like, oh, she's going to grade my work. I wasn't thinking I really need to build a relationship with this woman. This woman needs to know, like, and trust me so that when she's in those decision-making conversations, she's willing to advocate for me. She's putting my name forward for opportunities. She's willing to sponsor me. She's willing to provide cover to me when she gives me those stretch opportunities. I didn't do that. I think the other part about not knowing myself was I didn't know what my strengths were. So I wasn't able to put myself in a position in a job that really leveraged and appreciated what I brought. So a lot of my frustration was also that, like, I'm misplaced. Like, I don't think the company I worked for was a bad company. I just think it was not a good fit for me. But because I didn't know myself, I just went to the highest bidder out of undergrad. I literally was like, who's going to pay me enough money so I can pay my rent and my utilities and my car payment? And that's I was not thinking about my career.
I was saying it's not a bad, I'm sorry to interrupt. It's not a bad thing that you and that didn't work. It's okay.
It's okay. It's like two people dating, you know, it's like you can be a good person and the other person can be a good person, but it's just not a good fit. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with either one of you. Now, sometimes there is, but it doesn't always mean there's something wrong. It just might mean you're just not a good fit, and that's okay. That's okay too. So, I mean, I think that's ultimately what it was. And I forgot what your second question was, Phil.
Knowing your environment.
Knowing the environment, absolutely. Like I have worked, you know, like you mentioned in my bio, I've worked at McKinsey for almost 4.5 years. For those of you that have never heard of McKinsey, it's a management consulting firm. And I've had the honor and the privilege of working with Bain & Company. I used to do almost like this, you know, a couple hour, a couple day session with their new hires. Now, Bain is also a management consulting firm, but the cultures of those two organizations are very different. And so what works at Bain doesn't work at McKinsey, and what works at McKinsey doesn't work at Bain. And so they're in the same industry. They do exactly the same thing, but they have very different cultures. And so you need to understand what's, if you work at Bain, you need to understand what is the culture of Bain. How do people communicate? How do they resolve conflict? How do they build relationships? You need to understand how that works there. And then if you go to McKinsey, you need to understand how to communicate, how to resolve conflict, how to deliver in that organization, because it's not the same. It's not transferable because you worked in, you know, a certain industry. You need to understand this specific culture and try to fit yourself into that in a way that is authentic to you. That's a big part of my book, as I talk a lot about authenticity. I don't use words like code switching because I don't think, honestly, I don't think those things work for us in the long term. They work in the short term, but I don't think they work in the long term. And so I think it's better if we can find an authentic way to show up in a space in a way that works for the people and that environment. And that's where understanding your culture really comes in.
Interesting point when you think about that. When I left consumer and I went to the network arena, the way they went about doing their job was, you know, they all had the main objective was to get, you know, be productive, get work done, meet our initiatives, so forth and so forth. But they were culturally, to your point, the way we get things, group norms, the way we get things done here,
right?
There were different nuances and flavors. And my lead tech actually stopped me when he's like, oh, hey, Phil, because I was like, I had a consumer mindset in a network environment and it just wasn't going to work. You know,
absolutely. So absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I worked for a public sector organization and it had 4 floors in the office. If you went to the 4th floor, people were wearing 3-piece suits every day. If you went to the 1st floor, people had on flip flops and shorts. Like it was even the dress at the same organization. But when you were on 1 floor versus the other, very, very different. So those are the sorts of cues and signals that we need to be paying attention to so that, you know, we can be successful.
Mm-hmm. So let's segue. Let's switch, Dane, because this is a great segue to the next question. So intelligence, when you think of the meaning, and I want you to explain so we can have common ground and the audience can have common ground for your understanding when you're talking about intelligence. Seems simple, you know, but what did I hear once? All things that make sense ain't common. So, you know, when you talk about intelligence, how does this fit into what we're talking about? Knowing your audience, knowing your, you know, your environment, knowing who you are.
Right.
Define intelligence and how that works.
So I feel I'm going to talk about how I used to think about it and how I think about it now. So how I used to define intelligence was it's all about book smarts. It's about getting good grades and your reasoning ability. But now, in addition to those, which I think are important, right? I say it's also about emotional intelligence. It's about cultural intelligence, and even a term that a friend of mine in South Africa coined, personal brand intelligence. And I think there's other types of intelligence, but I'll just talk about those three because I talk about those topics in my book. So emotional intelligence, a lot of times when we think about EQ, which is what it's called for short, we often talk about our ability to deal with other people. But going back to this idea of knowing myself, EQ actually starts with me. I need to have the ability to recognize, understand, and manage my own emotions, right? And then the second element of EQ is having the ability to recognize, understand, and influence the emotions of others. But if I can't do that for myself, it's going to be really hard for me to do it for other people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. How can I tell you to, you know, calm down when I'm always raging up? You know what I mean? How can I expect you to do something that I can't even do for myself?
Yeah.
The second one we just talked about, cultural intelligence, understanding that environment, but also it's a person's ability to be able to interpret, understand, and become comfortable with and operate within a culture that is different from my own. So that could mean, you know, the company that you work for has a very different culture than the one that is your own. For me, living in South Africa, it's a very different culture. You're in a totally different continent. They do things differently. And I had to adapt. I mean, for example, you know, in South Africa, it doesn't matter who you are. People expect you to greet. They expect you to say, hello, how are you, before you say anything else. That's even in like the grocery store. So mm-hmm. I would never walk up to a grocery store employee and just say, well, what aisle is the toothpaste on? I would take a step back and say, well, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Let the person respond. And then I say, what aisle is the toothpaste on? You know, because in South Africa, a big part of the culture is acknowledging that somebody is a human before they're anything else. They are human before they are somebody that is going to provide a service or a product to you. So you need to acknowledge their humanity. I had to adjust because that's not the way I grew up. And then the third way that I mentioned earlier was personal brand intelligence. This is from a friend of mine. His name is Timothy Maurice Webster. He talks about the science of personal brand intelligence and influence and really tries to offer you some smart ways to conduct your relationship with yourself and the world. And I talk about, you know, cultural intelligence, emotional intelligence, and personal branding in my book, because I think those are other types of intelligence that are really important in terms of us being successful. Because everything in my book is about trying to help people be more successful and have impact. That's the goal with everything. And I think in order for us to have that impact and to be successful, we've got to learn how to get along with other people. But first, we got to start with knowing ourselves. And then I think that helps us get along with others, and then understanding the environment we're in and try to figure out, okay, how can I bring my authentic self to in a way that works for other folks and works for this environment so that I can be successful and have the impact that I want to have.
Now, what I love about your book title, it says intelligence isn't enough, a Black professional's guide. Hmm. To thriving in the workplace. So all the topics, I mean, you can go to any TED Talk, you'll see, you know, emotional intelligence, EQ, whatever you want, cultural norms, differences, understanding, inclusion, diversity, you know, becoming, being able to shift and pivot and do all these things quickly in order to be successful in business. But then you said, but you added on to that, intelligence isn't enough, a Black professional's guide. So why is this so important? You wrote this book for us.
Yes.
Can I say it that way? You wrote it for us. So
I did.
What was the passion behind that?
I think it was really a couple of things. I think, first of all, I'm Black. And I understand a Black experience. I can't speak to a Latinx experience or an Indian or Asian experience, but I definitely can speak to a Black experience. And I think what differentiates my book from maybe other books on this topic is that because I lived in South Africa, I had an opportunity to interact with all kinds of Black folks, you know, Black British, Zimbabweans, Kenyans, Nigerians, and Ghanaians. And so I saw there were some commonalities across all of our experiences and how we showed up, how we were acculturated, how we were socialized. And I just saw some similarities in terms of some of those elements that might be holding us back. And that, you know, and I also, for me, I'm a very transparent person. So I didn't want people picking up the book and realizing, oh, this is the book she's written to Black people. So I was like, well, I'm going to put it on the cover. So then you know straight up or not if you want to buy it.
I get it.
But I think back to the point in terms of, you know, my experience and exposure to different kinds of Black people showed me, even though we've been separated by oceans, languages, cultures, histories, there are certain things, there are certain threads that I just found through a lot of Black people, right? And so I wanted to address that in the book. You know, some of our thoughts around time, you know, as a value, some of the way we've been socialized around gender roles, some of the advice that we've gotten. You know, I've talked to audiences in Africa, in Europe, in America, and the things that I say, people nod their heads. You know, a lot of us have been told, you know, put your head down, work hard, and somebody will knight you as a chosen one. People, a lot of us have been told, don't tell those people at work your business. They are not your friends. You did not go there to make friends. They will use that knowledge against you. That kind of advice does not help us when we need to make relationships. We need to build and maintain those relationships. So when you've gotten all this advice, and also the trauma, right?
We get
a lot of bad advice from good, well-meaning people. A lot of times they're family and friends.
Yes.
And I just think we have to look at that advice and see how well is it serving us in the environments that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the environments that some of our parents worked in, maybe that advice worked, but a lot of us are working in highly collaborative environments. And
yes,
we have to have people know, like, and trust us to want to sponsor us, to want to mentor us, to coach us, to give us those stretch opportunities. And so we can't abide by some of that advice that we've been given. I've noticed in my experience that a lot of that advice is quite universal. And so I wanted to address it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say that. I can tell you, it's funny you mentioned time. You know, I hate to do it, but I'm going to do it. You know, we like to say church people time, black people, black folk time. I'm like, that's not a good thing, y'all. But here's the thing, though, Phil.
I don't even want to say it's necessarily bad or good. It's just, is it appropriate in the environment in which we're in? So, like, for example, my husband is Zimbabwean American, and we had a wedding in Zimbabwe when we got married in 2010. And my wedding started 45 minutes late. And I remember when the driver was taking me to the church, I said, is this horrible that we're starting so late? He's like, nah, it's fine. It's only 45 minutes. You know, so I'm like, in that culture, it's okay. But you got to ask yourself, is starting, you know, meetings late, delivering late, is that okay in the environment you're in now? And if it's not, then you're going to have to tighten up on your processes, so that you know what I mean, are abiding by and honoring that culture that might be different than the culture in which you were raised.
Mm-hmm. Love this. I love the topics that we're our discussion and where it's flowing. A lot of the things that you're sharing with us actually leads into my next question. We talk about soft skills, and then there are those hard skills, i.e. technical and business structure and so forth. Both are necessary to be successful in the work business. However, soft skills are often undervalued. Add your thoughts to that.
I mean, I think a lot of it starts with our educational system. I mean, if you think about it from kindergarten through graduate school, the emphasis is on the traditional definition of IQ. And so if you've been inundated for the last, 20 years, that that's all that matters, then that's where you focus. And I think, honestly, a lot of these universities are failing our students. They are failing us, you know, even as adult students, right? They are failing to prepare us because all they focus on are the technical skills. And when I think about the frustration that I've had in other jobs, a lot of it has come down to relationships. How do you work with somebody that has a different set of values, a different set of skills, a different belief system than you? How do you manage that conflict in a productive way? Because I think a lot of us, you know, we either avoid, we end up judging people that are different than us. And when I say different, I'm not even just talking about race and gender, because honestly, I think some of our biggest differences are values. We don't have the same values. And what we do is we judge the person. If this person doesn't show up exactly the way we expect them to,
True. Or
they don't bring to the table what we bring, we judge them. And then there's that bad energy between you and this person, and you don't know how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you communicate in a way that is effective to get your message across, to really influence people? And different types of people want to be communicated to in different types of ways. And nobody talks about these things. you know, your personal brand, thinking you're just going to show up looking any kind of way, speaking any kind of way, delivering any kind of way, and you still want people to think well of you. People need to be talking about those topics, because in a corporate, people are judging you. We humans judge each other. You know what I mean? Like when somebody meets me, and probably in a minute, they have a perception. And we need to realize the same thing is happening at work, but that it has even greater consequences for our career prospects and our ability to advance and just to be able to get our jobs done and to have impact. Those are the kinds of things that I think these universities need to be talking about, so that when you step into those spaces, you're not just totally clueless as to the world that you just stepped into.
Or clueless, not even connected, or the possibility to tap into
absolutely
understanding and skill sets that we've learned. This is all, you know, awesome. You know, real quick, when you're talking about judging, one thing that annoys me, don't judge. We all judge, y'all. Stop it. And I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to be nice. All right. Top soft skill, for the sake of time, one top soft skill that we don't tap into enough, that you would say, hey, listen, this is what I would recommend that you take a look at. Go ahead.
Oh, that's a tough one, Phil, to boil it down to one. But I'm going to go with this one, understanding yourself. Because the more you understand yourself, you can deal with any kind of person, any kind of situation that pops up. But when you don't know yourself, when you fluctuate with, oh, I got some good feedback today, I'm happy, I love everybody, I got some constructive feedback, now I'm a monster and I hate everybody and I'm, you know, me. Because you don't know who you are. You vacillate in terms of, you know, it's like, oh, I'm going to be this one person over here and I'm going to be somebody completely different with this audience. Like, I just think that doesn't inspire people. It doesn't make people want to trust us. It doesn't make people want to work with us when we show up all over the place. So I think knowing who I am as a person, knowing what my strengths, areas of development, aspirations, motivations, needs, fears, unhealed traumas, triggers, those things help us be able to manage ourselves better. So whatever situation or personality comes at us, we're like, aha, you're not going to get me today, because I know myself and I know either I need to remove myself from this situation or I need to take a pause. I need to do some deep breathing. I need to see a coach. I need to pray. I need to journal. I need to meditate. You've got a plan in place to deal with, you know, these situations that pop up. But when you don't, things just come up. And sometimes I think in an unprofessional way, because we don't know ourselves. So that for me would be my number one. And I would say number two, being empathetic, putting ourselves in the position of someone else, not just making it always about us. And I think the more we can be empathetic, we'll communicate better. I think we can build and maintain better relationships if we can just sometimes put ourselves in the shoes of other people.
Mm-hmm. That taps into that emotional intelligence side of it.
Absolutely.
Seeing how you're showing up to others, getting a clue as to where they are.
Absolutely.
In this situation, in this environment, in this moment. All right. You got about a minute to go. And I want to ask you, tell me why I should buy your book.
That's Victor, a great question.
Let's leave it at that. Tell me why we should go out and buy your book. I'm very interested because I'm already in. I'm going to get it. Tell your audience why we should buy the book.
A couple things for me. I think I have worked in really high performing environments. I mean, I've worked, you know, at Deloitte, the biggest, you know, accounting and consulting firm in the world, yes. McKinsey, even the company I work at now, which I won't even name, but you can go on LinkedIn and look it up. But I've worked in some really high performing environments. And so the advice that I'm giving you, if it works in a super, super high performing environment, I feel like it'll work in a lot of different places. I think secondly, my exposure, my experience, I'm not just bringing you an American perspective. I think you all as a multinational would really appreciate someone who brings a broad perspective in terms of the people that I've spoken to. The people that I interview in my book, I interview about 30 Black leaders who have been educated and worked and lived in Africa, North America, and Europe. So I think I'm bringing a really broad perspective in that sense, too. So you can see that the principles in my book are universal. They're not American principles. They literally are universal principles, I think is another reason. And I think because the book is written to a certain audience of people, but I also think, you know, even if you're not Black, if you're first generation corporate, don't have anybody in your family that can help you, this is a great book to buy because I literally have broken it down. I've tried to be very tactical in terms of the advice that I'm giving. So I think you will walk away with a lot of value and a lot of insights if you buy my book and read it and put it into action. Not just read it, but put it into action.
Make it practical.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Carice Anderson, what an awesome few moments we've had with you in sharing why intelligence is not enough in today's corporate world. And I believe the network audience will truly benefit from this and become powerful, even more powerful, because of your book, Why Intelligence is Not Enough, A Black Professional's Guide to Thriving in the Workplace. Thank you so much, Carice Anderson, for being with us on today.
Thank you for powerful. Having me.
And we'll see everyone at our next session. Everyone, have a great day.